The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 13th day of April. 2022, and I got to adjust my dials here because I don't sound right. Anyhow, tonight we have a whole lot to talk about, like we always do, and I am back, but I'm not back all the way for sure. We have with us, of course, on the board, we have Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And way out yonder in Missouri, we have, well, he's a statesman preacher, none other than Pastor Joel Arson.
You mean that highly unpaid professional assistant? Yes, I'm here, ready to go to work, boss.
And we have our guest every two-week co-host with us, and that is none other than she's a real all-natural lady with all-natural medicines, and that's Miss Wendy Wilson, the medicine marm.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
Good evening, young lady. We have a whole lot to deal with tonight, so we probably better get right with it. And
Medicine and, Marm, I like that, Wendy. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one, isn't it? Medicine Marm, yeah. It does, I guess it's better than the apothecary scary.
Right, well, MM for Medicine Mom, I guess. Don't confuse me now with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, okay. All right. All righty. Yeah, you're a lot younger than she is. And
yes,
so,
I am.
Yeah. Even Joe and I are. Yeah, funny, Joe. Okay, anyhow. Now, we got to get into this description. The title of the message was His Seven Last Words on the Cross. And we, Joe, you went through those last night, I believe.
Right. Lightly touched on all of them. Kind of gave the sequence to everybody, but...
I'll repeat them.
A lot in there.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt be with me this day in paradise. Luke 23:43. Mary... Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother. John 19:26-27. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. You also find that same verse in Mark 15:34, Joe. And then he says just two words, I thirst, John 19:28. It is finished, John 19:30. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, Luke 23:46. Now, not all of the passages have all of those. Some are in some and not the others. But now here, we're going to pick it up tonight. Would you read, Joe, from Matthew 27, verses 35 through 44?
Four, all right. Glad to. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou didst destroy the temple, and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocked him with scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come, now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth.
All right, now, in this passage, when it has the what was written at the top of the cross, here it has this: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now, something's left off right here, and that is, in the other three Gospels, they all have that it was said in under three languages.
Three languages. I think that's in John 19 and 20, isn't it?
Yeah. They're all three. Now, and they were the Hebrew, because it's in Jerusalem, the Greek, because they were many, many of those that were coming through there, and the Latin, that was for the Romans. The Roman soldiers, huh?
Right.
And so here, now,
I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that it was a mockery, the King of the Jews, and being in those languages, it was just to exemplify the mockery that was coming. We see in the next few verses.
And so here too, as he goes down, "And there were two thieves crucified, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they passed by, and they reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, 'Thou destroyest the temple, and buildest in 3 days. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" Did Jesus destroy the temple and raise it in 3 days?
He is the temple, and he will be raised.
He was raised.
Because they thought he was going to destroy the temple there in Jerusalem, but he was speaking of himself.
Okay. Wendy, you just you jump right in there and roar like a lion when you want to ask a question.
Okay.
So here, you know, when it says, you know, when Jesus said to them, "And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," What was the requirement for? There was a requirement there for the Father to forgive them. What was the requirement?
Same requirement for us today: repent of sin.
Well, it was much different than it is from us, because
they were the ones that put him on the cross.
They were the ones.
They had to go to the very one that they crucified and tortured and tormented and abused, and ask him to forgive them, and they had to go and repent to him.
So they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." Did that happen?
It sure did. Israel has suffered ever since.
Okay.
"What is that to us?" Wasn't that the phrase they used, the high priest?
Yeah.
"What is that to us?" Well, it was a lot to the whole world for 2,000-something years.
Now, read verse 44.
"The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth."
Now, how is that different than in the other three Gospels?
Because in the other three Gospels, the one thief repented and rebuked the other thief. And this doesn't explain that. They just said both of them cast the same in his teeth, which is maybe right at first. Yeah, throw yourself down, but then the other thief, one of them, realized that he was the Messiah.
Then he repented.
Point. He repented, but I don't know what point.
Yeah, that, you know, it's a shame they don't mention that in this passage.
Yes, it is.
So he,
it makes it look like the gospel is wrong. There's a mistake.
And there is no mistake. It never does contradict itself. You just got to remember that, you know, people saw this. Not in everything, there's parts of things in each one of these gospels that are not in the other gospels, but they're, you put them all together and you get the complete story, don't you?
Sure, you definitely do. I think what happened here to me is the one thief was just kind of touched by the Spirit, watching how Jesus handled himself on the cross compared to how they were, and he wasn't complaining, he wasn't begging for mercy, he wasn't crying out in pain, he wasn't doing any of the things that was expected of somebody on the cross, and I think that's what got through to the one thief. This man was different.
How do you know that it was the thief on the right that repented and not the thief on the left?
Because, God, it's always been those on the right hand are the faithful. Those on the left are the ones who are anti.
So if we go to Matthew,
God uses that. So
if we
see that.
If we go through Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, this was written just days before the crucifixion. Then shall the king say unto him on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. And then he goes to 41 and says, then shall they say unto you on my left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Does that give us a real big hint?
Gigantic hint. A gigantic hint. One thing I noticed, well, I guess maybe you're saving it for another time, but some of those verses in between, like 40 and 41 and 42, that's kind of touched on in the Psalms, isn't it?
That yeah.
Happened.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go right now to Psalm 22. And go to Psalm 22, and we'll read.
7, 8, 9, huh?
Well, actually, you could... Actually, the entire psalm, really. Let's go ahead and start with verse 1.
All right. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?
All right, stop there now. Okay, now this is King David that is saying this here. Now, David was going through some rough times, some very great trials at that time. But here now, when Jesus said exactly what David had said there, do you think that's just a coincidence?
No, I think the words were put in David's mouth by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
The entire Psalms, everything is inspired by the Holy Spirit, all through the Old Testament, by the Lord.
Pick it up in verse 6, go ahead.
But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb and didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. Let me continue.
Okay, so, well, does that exactly apply to what the Lord Jesus was going through?
Exactly. What happened there? We just read with verses 40, 41 in Matthew 27. He was mocked by the priests, the elders. He saved others. He trusted God, you know. Let him deliver him now. You know?
Okay, pick it up in verse 12 and read right through 21.
Okay. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, and I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots among my vesture upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. How far did you want me to go?
Okay, well, let's stop there. Let's go back to, many bulls have compassed about me. Were there bulls of Bashan surrounding the Lord Jesus?
No, not actual bulls. It's a metaphor.
Okay, so the metaphor is for what? The strong and the powerful.
Right, the strong and the mighty enemies.
Did Jesus, was he surrounded by strong and mighty enemies?
It was a bunch of Roman soldiers that took him and led him to the cross, yeah.
Yeah.
The power of Rome, I'd say, was pretty mighty. There wasn't any power greater than the power of Rome.
Okay, so now he goes down and he says, all my bones were out of joint. Yet not one bone was broken, but they were all out of joint.
When you're on the cross, you get your what? You get, what do you call it, when you out of joint, when you dislocate your shoulder. It dislocates shoulders.
Yeah.
Causes all kinds of horrible pain.
Now he says in verse 16, for the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed about me, and they pierce my hands and feet. Who are the dogs?
The dogs, and I'm not sure, but I would think would be the betrayers.
Well, in five places in Scripture, homosexuals,
right.
LGBT would, of today, would be considered, described as the dogs.
Dogs, but here it means something more, doesn't it?
Now, what does God's Word, the Bible, the very first time the sodomite is mentioned, what is referred to as a what?
Dog.
No, yeah, well, a dog, but it's an abominable thing.
Abomination, yeah.
So here, that word there is also referring to an abominable people. Uh-huh. And so he's talking about the abominable people have compassed about him, okay? And he says, my darling, for the power, deliver me from the power of the dog, the abominable people. And so let's do this. Let's stop.
It's pretty interesting how the psalmist is crying out, how David is saying, they pierced my hands and my feet. That is inspired because that's exactly what happened. He was nailed to the cross, both hands and his feet together nailed to the bottom. I mean, that was written, the time difference, the Old and New Testament, and to be that accurate is mathematically impossible.
You're telling me. So, all righty.
Well, no, I was telling the audience. You told me that long ago.
All righty, very good. All right, we've got Miss Wendy. Didn't you have any questions?
No, I'm just listening along with everybody else. It's very good.
You're very smart. We all know that. You may have probably all known that. All right, we're gonna stop right there, Joe.
Well, sometimes it says, you know, wisdom is listening more and speaking less. But you and I are supposed to be preaching, so we have to talk more.
Yep. So why don't we do this? Let's stop right there. And folks, get your pen and paper, because you're going to need to write a phone number down, and that is for Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. Wendy, I'm going to just go ahead and start with you.
You better say that again. I couldn't write it. If I can't, other people can't.
Well, I was going to, but they haven't got back with their pen and paper yet, so.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, they're back now. 866-229-3663. And you're going to want to get her catalog, or you can go up on the internet to www.thepowerherbs.com. Wendy was going to talk about tonight, you were going to talk a little bit about the personalities of these so-called mad scientists we have out there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, and before I do want to mention to your listeners that if they've been trying to reach Apothecary Herbs after 5 p.m. Eastern Time and haven't been able to get through, we had phone disruption. So if you called and didn't get through, or it said mailbox full or something to that effect, it was the phone lines were down, so do apologize for that. They're working now. And also, if you haven't received a catalog you requested and it's been 10 days, let us know. Sometimes the post office is not delivering them. So 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, if you want to get a free catalog. And you're absolutely right, Pastor. We're going to talk about who is crafting scientific research. This was an article that posted by Study Finds. Some new research suggesting your scientists who are conducting clinical trials on drugs and medical devices and other things are suffering from dark personality traits. I thought this was interesting because we've all had experiences with people with personality disorders and those folks that are not so nice. However, personality traits are also considered, a link into that person. You, as the Bible says, you know them by their fruits. So personality traits can sometimes give you an inkling that someone is distrustful. And this would be a big concern with regard to scientific medicine, wouldn't it, Pastor?
Yeah, it certainly would.
That and several other fields of endeavor would go along nicely.
Right. Well, let me read you a quote from the study. This appeared in the Collabor Psychology Journal, February 23rd, 2022. It says, they, meaning the scientists, just don't really care about what others are thinking or how they were perceived by others. So they did a profile of these people, Pastor. According to the study that did get published in that journal, the scientists have a tendency to fit a profile, and this is their profile. They're middle-aged. Now, let me just also say this. Not all scientists have this profile, okay? They're just giving you a snapshot of some of the personality traits they've encountered within the field, but not all scientists are bad. Let's just clear that up. So here is the profile. Middle-aged, manipulative, aggressive with hostility, struggles to control anger, feels entitled, irresponsible, complains a lot, lack of empathy, immodest, and uncooperative.
So well, wait a minute. You just described the entire Democratic Congress.
Well, we all know people like this, don't we, Pastor?
Yeah, we certainly do.
White House.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, not all research scientists are that way. Now, people with personality traits like these mentioned in this profile are people who just want, you just want to avoid those kind of folks. So, however, the study did point out that some common descriptive or insulting terms describing these personality traits have long been removed from the psychology handbooks. They cited an example. Now, again, I don't wish to offend anybody. I'm just reporting on the study. So, don't shoot the messenger.
Right.
Here's another quote from Collaborative Psychology. They said, we used 5 models to determine our findings that the subjects studied are individuals that display assholery. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. This term is no longer used in personality assessments. Instead, they said, the 5-factor model showed personality traits of disagreeableness, insulting personalities, high anger, antisocial, and psychopathic narcissistic personality disorder, end of quote. Now, Dr. Binkley Sharp at the University of Georgia says, people that display this type of behavior are pretty aversive. These personalities know what their behavior is, that it bothers others, but they just don't care, end of quote.
Cool.
Wow.
Okay, hold it right there, Wendy. We're going to go to a fast break, and we'll pick it up on the other side. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
Say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. Before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. We got a right to feel the way we feel. We got a right to make a stand. On my wedding day, that my woman was not a man, a great big ugly man. Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Thank God I'm saved on Judgment Day. I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
Me too. I'd rather be right.
Into that.
I'd rather be to the right than to the left, for sure. And that was Julie Danner, and that was Danny Ray, and their hero, yours truly, me. There you go. Anyhow, they're probably scratching their heads, really. Anyhow, I like that song. So I got to make an announcement real quick, and that is that we are going to have only a morning service. There will be no evening service at Doers of the Word Baptist Church this Sunday, because on Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Savior, after the morning service, when we spend with our church family, then we go to and spend that time with our regular families. And so there you go. We do that. We've always done that, and that's what we'll be doing this Sunday too. And with that, Miss Wendy, would you go ahead and pick it up?
Oh, sure. Okay. I lost my spot. Hang on, let me find it again.
Go ahead. You got all the time in the world.
Hey, when Ernie and I lose our thoughts, it's lost in a very dark hole somewhere in outer space.
Right. Well, you know, this is interesting. You know, what this is this research on these personality traits. On such people, they kind of have their own worldview, and they complain when others don't agree with them in it. So how do these scientists and others who have personality traits like them, they show you who they are, and when they describe themselves also, that shows you who they are, and also when they describe others around them. So, you know, you can kind of get, you know, the inkling. Now, this also conveys a lot of information on character traits of the person. So apparently people who fit this profile that we just described also have tendencies of bipolar traits and negative emotionality traits, and typically are quite unstable. So these would be the opposite of people who are open-minded and agreeable, and these personality traits on these models of these scientists have shown comparisons and insights into things like their job satisfaction, work performance, life satisfaction, even marital functioning. So this is why, Pastor, when you to apply for a job, even if you went to apply for a job at a grocery store, nowadays they have you answer a personality assessment questionnaire, but you don't know that's what you're answering, okay? And you'll know it's a personality assessment when they ask you questions repeatedly throughout the questionnaire, but in different ways. So they're trying to see if you're answering consistently, okay? Let me read you a quote again. The study, they said, our assessments showed that overall the profile character traits are similar to prototypes of psychopathic, antisocial narcissists, and this is particularly not surprising. So scientists fall, a lot of them fall into that category, which is pretty scary. This is what they concluded. They mentioned that different cultures have different descriptive terms for personality traits like this, and in the English-speaking culture, it is described this way. Quote, we established that the insulting term asshole conveys information regarding perceptions of the target's personality, and the target exhibits traits consistent with psychopathy and narcissism, end of quote. So I didn't know when, you know, people said, you know, this person is an a-hole, that they were really a narcissist and psychopath. Did you?
It sounds like you're referring to Dr. Fauci. I mean, you just described Dr. Fauci to a T. Well, think about it. Look at the frontline doctors that we've had on the program or had different audio feeds from them. They were service-oriented. They were open-minded. They were compassionate mm-hmm. people. They were humble. And they weren't driven for, they're willing to risk fame, fortune, money, and even, you know, take a major hit in their profession to what? Serve others like Jesus. As you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. And I noticed there wasn't any of that in the description of these other people.
Right, exactly.
You judge them more by what's missing than what they have. I would rather judge them on what didn't show up.
Well, all of those traits you'll find, you're going to find all of those. Look, in all of these people, look at Bill Gates. You'll find that same thing with Bill Gates. He's not a scientist, but he thinks he is. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he thinks that if there's no one smarter than him. If you look at these guys in the high tech, Markey, what's his name? Zuckerman. All of these people, they have Zuckerberg. They have the very same, those very same traits about them. But I know exactly what you're talking about. I know a scientist who's that way. He's an atheist, and he's you're absolutely right when it comes to he has a hard time really reasoning things. There's a real personality problem there, and so.
Yeah. Well, what the study is showing, if it is accurate, okay, in profiling modern day research scientists, well, society is in threatening waters. Really, much of what comes from the scientific study community touches all our lives one way or another. So if people behind the research display character that does not have the best interest of others in mind, then we really need to investigate all that modern science promotes. Think about it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, we really have to do it because, look, everything's gone bad. I mean, right now there's not anything in our society out there. We've got the most corrupt government. You know, we've got a guy in the White House. He is evil to the core. And I'm saying this, folks. He wants to force Christian hospitals right now. Biden wants to force Christian hospitals to kill babies. Biden wants to force. He wants to bring back the shutdowns. He wants to bring back the shutdowns. He wants to, again, take us back.
Force the vax. He wants to force everything.
Heartless Biden regime. Regime to rip newborn baby from single mom on the January 6th protester. Here, that woman, because what did she do? She went to the Stop the Steal protest. That's what all she did. And she was walking next to the Proud Boys. Now they want to give her 30 years in prison. Okay, this is evil. And but Biden is evil to the bone. That man is absolutely evil. I don't know what else, other words to say it.
Well, we could change in Wendy's description. Instead of middle age, we could put Ancient of Days.
Well,
Biden, little humor there.
Yeah, very little, Joe.
All right.
You can't throw stones if you live in a... Okay. But on the other hand...
We don't fit the rest of the profile. We might fit the old age, but we don't fit the other things.
Well, you know what, though? They say there's no fool like an old fool. And Biden, what does the fool say? But there is no God.
God, amen.
Yeah.
And he does everything anti-Christ, so he might say he believes, but his actions, his fruit, does not back up his words at all.
He is destroying this country, and this country cannot survive another year of Joe Biden. He can't.
Yeah.
He's trying to reduce us to a third world status. Wendy, yeah. I've got a clip I'd like to play, and okay. then I'd like to have you go ahead and comment on it along with Joe and I. So are you ready there? Yeah, let's do her.
Dr. Brian Artis, you dropped an explosive bombshell yesterday. Everybody's talking about it. You said you watched this show last night with your family. Welcome back. How are you and your family feeling today?
I'm really excited to be here again with you guys, and I just can't thank Steel Truth enough for actually having any faith at all in me, trusting me to bring things that I find are important or think should be conveyed to people. It's been a whirlwind, actually, of emotions. I cannot tell you how nervous I was yesterday to have this information come out. I've been overwhelmed. I even had a cold sore coming out of my lip. I woke up with it in the middle of the night. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been stressed. My heart was pounding out of my chest last night. And then when I watched your episode after the Stu Peters reveal, I really felt much calmer. Like, okay, great. It's done. I did it. I released the info. Now it's like kind of sit back and just see what the world does with it.
Right.
And I have to tell you, there's been a few things that I'll just say out of the gate. And right now I have like 60 different text messages from people right now I haven't even looked at yet in the last like 30 minutes. I'm not kidding. It's just been rolling like that nonstop. But I want to let you know what I was hoping would happen is that people would take what it was I was relating and then go do their own research. Like people who have the ability to review patents like Karen Kingston or other researchers can bring information and go look for stuff that might tie this into reality and kind of fill in the gaps and holes for people, because there was no way in a 48-minute segment with Stu Peters' presentation, an hour and 15 minutes with you guys, that I could take you through all of the decades of research that I have printed that helps actually solidify the story. But I also don't have everything. So, for example, let me just tell you some of the things that were exciting to me when I woke up. When I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, there was actually text messages from Karen Kingston. And in the Stu Peters show and in yours, we went through that there's this phospholipase A2 enzyme found in COVID-19 patients who were hospitalized for COVID-19. And the University of Arizona published in the summer of 2021, the title after evaluating their blood was like venom coursing through the body. And they said there's this enzyme at high levels in every one of these COVID-19 blood samples that was specifically found in rattlesnake venom also. Karen Kingston, in the middle of the night while I was asleep, had sent the text, and it read, "Oh my God, I'm going through all the patents for the SARS-CoV-2 COVID-19 vaccines, and they all have that enzyme in them, this SPLA2 enzyme."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh my God, I haven't even looked at all of those, but I have seen enough patents on various adenovirus vaccines where they actually have the word venom in the description of how they make it." And so I've seen those, but that would be great. And then, for example, James Grundvig from AMP Media,
right?
He sent a text early morning, and it said, "Dr. Artis, these people from around the world sent me these messages today, and I wanted to send them to you. There have been people nonstop who have tried to figure out why it is that COVID-19 isn't affecting children as much as it affects adults." And when I actually have told a few people like yourselves, Liz and Anne, about what I was working on as this hypothesis that this could possibly be what's causing all of SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, the pandemic, that there could be this aspect of venom, these people in the middle of the night wrote to James and said, "Oh my God, it finally makes sense why it is kids aren't affected by this possible gain of function with snake venom peptides tied to this virus." And what it was this person was sending James these research studies that I haven't even had time to even look at. But her explanation was, melatonin is already a proven inhibitor of snake venom. And she had all these research studies. And then she sent him research studies showing that children by nature have elevated higher levels of melatonin than adults do. And she's like, "Oh my God, it finally makes sense," right? So that's all very exciting. But I do want to diffuse something real quick. And I want to make sure everyone is aware. Because last night, a medical doctor was very excited and proud of me and has sent their love over and over and over to me since last night when I released this info. And his name is Dr. Richard Bartlett. You know who he is. I want everyone to know. I didn't know if he was going to be okay with me telling you this, so I asked him last night, "Are you okay if I say this about you?" Dr. Richard Bartlett is the man that sent me the text that said, "Dr. Artis, if you got bit by a rattlesnake, would you go to a hospital and get antivenom?"
Right.
He is the guy, but I didn't know if he was okay with me relating this information, because when I told him what I was working on in Ohio at the Reawaken Tour,
right,
when I told him what's happened since he sent me that text, his actual words out of his mouth was, he leans into my ear and he goes, "Hey, Dr. Artis, any last words before you leave the building?" Because he knew this was going to be so damning to me, maybe with my life, that it was going to be a threat to me. But he has been super supportive. But I have to say something out of the gate. I am being inundated with questions about, can I prove that SARS-CoV-2 is in the water? Can you prove that this bioweapon is in the water? I need to address this real quick, okay? Because Richard Bartlett called me this morning and he goes, "Dr. Artis, you need to handle this water thing." I said, "I know." Stu Peters just happened to ask me when I went and saw him about security on the first visit. I didn't actually go there to talk about venom. I went there to ask him, with his bounty hunting experience, what kind of security detail or intel or guns or stuff should I have, because I'm about to unleash something that I have a very anxious feeling about revealing. And I knew that I probably needed to have protection. That's why I went there. When he asked me what am I holding back and what am I not sharing, I told him a little bit about my theory that I think, of all the research I'm looking at and being directed by God to look at, I think there's actually a snake venom connection to all of COVID-19. And I think that's the weapon. And he said, "Well, how would they be distributing that?" And I said, "My honest opinion is I think it's in the water." That's what I told him. He took that and blew it up as the...
Yes, I remember.
As the big story. And I called him immediately every time he released this trailer teaser about the call to water and watch the water. That wasn't my story. My story has never been to create fear, panic, and anxiety about water. I just happened to tell him that I believe they're doing it in the water. I still believe they're doing it in the water, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. The actual story is, I want to answer this because Richard Bartlett said just handle it, so I'm going to handle it. For all the future interviews in the world, please stop asking me how I know it's in the water. It's in the water. You want to know how I know it's in the water? The CDC has 400 sites right now where they're PCR testing your city water looking for it. It's obviously in the water. They've been testing your city water since January of 2020, and they are now increasing the testing sites for your water with PCR testing for SARS-CoV-2 in 647 sites now.
So, Dr. Artis,
me how I know it's there. They know it's there. That's what they're looking for.
Okay, I actually received a couple of, like others, and I'm going to share them with you right now. I received some text messages, et cetera. I want to put up on the screen a comment somebody made, an anon made, regarding the water. And this is coming from, if producer Liz can find it, is coming from, this is somebody who's actually has 36 years of experience at a U.S. water company. And he says, you know, let me just read the whole thing. The biggest conspiracy theory yet. There is no way to put anything in the water supply of all the utilities around the world. I worked at the largest U.S. water company for 36 years, and in order to contaminate the city's water supply, the snake oil would have to be injected at many places that are heavily guarded. The snake oil would have to be continuously injected since the water moves out of the system every few days. What do you say to people who are putting comments like that out there, assuming that this guy on face value isn't a veteran of the city water company for 36 years? How do you address comments like that? Because I've been getting bombarded with similar type comments, and so I pose it to you. Again, the story is the venom. The water is a distribution potential mechanism, and you're saying the CDC is putting it out there by what they're doing and surveilling. How do you address these kind of comments?
Yeah, I actually just want to say that these people may know more about water supply than I do. I do not mind admitting at some point that I was wrong about my suspicion that it's in the water. I mean, they are PCR testing your water. They are doing that. You cannot say they're not doing that.
Right.
They are finding SARS-CoV-2 and then making predictions for cities in this country about when the next outbreak is based on water levels of SARS-CoV-2. That's what the CDC is doing. If they're not doing that, what are they doing? Because that's what they say on their CDC website.
Right.
So I don't know. My next question would be for people, if they're finding SARS-CoV-2 in the water and that's what they're doing, they're just PCR testing to make predictions of coming outbreaks in your city. If they're doing that, are they also filtering the water to get the SARS-CoV-2 out of the water? And if they're not, I don't know that. Someone should find out. Because if it's recirculating at high levels and then they can predict that you're going to get sick, there's going to be an outbreak, you know, all these people are drinking that water. They're just filtering the water, cleaning the water, then putting it back in your tap and in your showers.
Right.
The story is not the water. Please, I cannot say this enough. The story's not the water. The story is they're envenomating people either with water, a respiratory virus through gain-of-function testing where they added literally spike proteins of common crate snakes and cobra snakes. Mm-hmm. That's what we know from early on. I'm actually telling you, if you just look at the venom connection for COVID-19, regardless of how they're spreading it. Now, people could say that it'd be really hard to spread this in water. I think it would be harder to spread it in the air. You know, jet streams just fly all around and blow stuff all over the place. How do you control that? I don't know. But they've been working on gain-of-function testing for decades and demonize these things. I don't know. This is what they do. Please, everyone, just know. The message wasn't to make you scared of water to go look at water. Governments around the world are finding and evaluating your city water looking for SARS-CoV-2. It's obviously in the water. They're finding it in the water, but they're telling you it's from fecal matter. Great. If that's where it's coming from, it's still in the water.
Okay.
Filtering it, that's phenomenal. I don't know. Just know the message is please, please, please do not try to destroy my reputation of trying to save lives because I said to a person, I think they're doing it with the water. Because I think it's in the water. They know it's in the water. They're testing it, obviously. I mean, they're PCR testing the water. What are they looking for? SARS-CoV-2.
Okay. All right. This is one more I'd like to just run by you. And this comes from Bobby Payton, who's actually a Republican Senate candidate for U.S. Senate in Illinois. And he actually has had hip resurfacing surgery where he had cobalt and chromium mechanisms placed in his hip socket. And because of this, he says soy is very toxic to him. And obviously, we know they put soy in everything from ketchup and bread and a whole bunch of other things, mayonnaise, et cetera. He is asking, because of this particular article that he came across, I want to put this up on the screen, the effect of certain proteolytic enzymes in the thrombofibrinogen interaction. He says, if the soy people are ingesting via food is interacting with our water being laced with something else that creates a synthetic venom. He Googled snake venom and soy, and he found this paper by Stephen P.M. McKessie showing up, like what I just said, thrombin-like enzymes in snake venoms. He further pulled up the thrombin fibrinogen paper from September of 1962. He says, if you, Dr. Artis, are an expert on any of these topics, is it possible to investigate the possibility of these being synthesized via our food and water supply? So he has concerns, and we've all heard about, maybe not everybody, but it's been widely reported that a lot of people are getting these thrombogenic events where they're finding in the coroners that are embalming these dead COVID patients or vaccinated patients, these long, stringy, fibrous-like things inside their veins. So could that be a possibility that needs to be further explored?
Absolutely. It is absolutely proven they can synthetically make almost every single snake venom peptide or protein or enzyme. And yes, lots of venoms from both conos snails, which are marine snails that produce this venom that's toxic to even humans and all mammals, and then snake venoms from vipers. They have this impact of actually destroying fibrinogen, leading to all kinds of blood clotting disorders. And yes, they can synthetically make this stuff. They've been doing it since 1989 in mass quantities, particularly the alpha conotoxin, which has the same effects as what you just read with snake venom. Copy. And it actually has the same clotting effects. And I would not be surprised that when these shots are going into people, if they contain snake venom phosphodiesterase, or if they contain any kind of snake venom phospholipases that destroy fibrinogen and clot factors, that's what snake venom does. Richard Bartlett called me this morning to tell me. His dad even called him and goes, oh my God, Dr. Artis is right. He said every aspect of COVID, the neurological, the coagulative impacts, that's all snake venom.
And the suppression of the breathing. Your diaphragm, your inability to have a full breath, which I have experienced myself. This is extraordinary. Well, I want to thank BobbyPighton.com for that information. He's a phenomenal candidate. I hope he gets a Trump endorsement one day. That would be helpful. We need to get people like that in the Senate because he has a solution for people who are, you know, poisoning others the way that this has been going on. Dr. Artis, you are incredible. Thank you so much for coming back on and bringing us this update and you know, putting that declaratory information out there that clarifying information out there. Per Richard Bartlett's haste. I think that's fantastic.
And let me tell you, Dr. Richard Bartlett, I believe, is a godsend for this entire COVID pandemic. And he kept telling me, he's like, God's put something into you that makes you like this investigative journalist to put the storyline together. He said, please just make sure that everyone knows. And then he just texted me a minute ago and he said, I am absolutely certain that this was a respiratory virus from the beginning in the gain of function testing as he's looking into research right now. He said, you are right, Dr. Artis. They're using snake venom from crate and Chinese cobra. They figured out how to get that onto a respiratory virus, and he believes from the beginning it was aerosolized. Well, that's great. It doesn't matter how it got into your body. Please, everybody, focus on looking at this as an envenomation. The whole COVID, any scenario surrounding COVID-19, please look at it as an envenomation. And when you put that lens on, everything becomes...
All righty, we're back. We're coming up to a break, and we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.